Now you'll play some music, no? Over these gaps in
Oh
the
no,
audio.
I'll just cut chip cut
Oh, la,
together.
la, la, la. Okay.
You want me to play music? Sing, I'll record that.
Ah,
I'll
it'll be
sample
nice.
that. Huh, so sing.
अभी नहीं आ रहे हैं।
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I, of course, am still Swarnabho, the host of this show, and this is a place where I get to have lovely conversations with people from the art world. And today, of course, one of my inspirations, and of course, you get to listen. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider, you know, the usual, subscribing to the podcast and telling your friends about this show. You can also follow us on Instagram if you are on Instagram to stay updated on the upcoming episodes. The page name, of course, is Paper Pencil Podcast. Now, let's talk about today's guest. I have been waiting for this conversation for a really long while. And see, it's not every day that you get to sit down and have a conversation with people who inspire you the most, right? And that is why I'm extremely excited to have Rajiv Aip in front of me. Rajiv is a fantastic illustrator and animator from Bangalore. He has been working on books and films for the last 15 years, and trust me, he is not that old, to be honest. He has a bachelor's of fine art painting degree from Sir JJ School of Art in Bombay and a postgrad degree in animation film design from, of course, NID Ahmedabad. And for the listeners also, if you have been listening to the episodes, I think the last 4 or 5 episodes have been all NID graduates. So this is clearly becoming like, you know, an alumni meet or something of NID Ahmedabad. But yeah, not going to complain about that. And quoting the man himself, Rajiv, he says, "I'm so lazy, I don't have a website. The Behance page," which of course I'll link to the show notes, "has lain dormant since 2018 or so." So yeah, you get an idea about this person as well. He's extremely humble, immensely imaginative, exceptionally skilled. If you want, I can go to Google and search for some more adjectives. He is damn good. He lives in Yelahanka right now, which is far, far, far away in Bangalore from where I stay. He has worked on countless picture books, including the Ammachi series, the Maithili series, Pishi and Me, Chitti, The Sweet Shop Wars, Let's Go, The Monster Who Could Not Climb a Tree. And these are just the ones I actually own physical copies of, which, of course, I would like to get, you know, signed by Rajiv the day I finally get to meet him. We've spoken multiple times before, and he's been an extremely helpful mentor, if I may use that word. In a lot of cases, you know, I have reached out to him in the past for little problems or issues or doubts that I had around the whole world of children's book illustration. And today I probably get to have a slightly longer conversation with him. So on that really long introduction, Rajiv, welcome to the conversation. Thank you so much for making it.
Hey, Swar, thanks for having me. What an introduction, man. I think we can stop here, actually. I don't know what else can I say now.
All right, so thank you so much for listening, everybody. This was a pleasure. Okay, so
no, thanks. So nice, your podcast.
Ah, thank you so much.
Lovely
so,
name, you know, also.
Yeah. So it all starts with paper and pencil, right? And for you especially, because I know your process in a lot of cases starts off with pencil and probably goes to digital much later. But yeah, I would like to know all about that. Of course, we have connected before. We have made plans of meeting before. But yeah, kismet at the end of the day.
Yes.
But
opposite sides of the city.
Opposite sides of the city, exactly. Opposite sides of the spectrum. Cool. So, you know, let's really begin. And I again don't really have questions, but you know, a lot of ideas that I want to bounce off you. So, that's something which I want to do. Again, I have told you already that, you know, I love your illustration style. Whenever you know, I'm trying to work on something new, I have been you know, in a lot of cases thinking, okay, how would Rajiv think, right? So today I would like to know, how does Rajiv think, right? So
if Rajiv thinks.
If Rajiv.
Does Rajiv think? Question mark.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, let's begin. I would like to know about your journey, first of all, right? I know, you know, Sir JJ School of Arts and then NID. But before that, let's go back to, you know, the little Rajiv who was growing up in the streets of Vikhroli in Mumbai, or Bombay, erstwhile Bombay, right? Let's probably start off from there. Like, tell me about your journey.
Yeah, actually, before that, I lived in Madras for a little while. So till I
Oh.
was about 9 or 10, I grew up in Madras, and then I moved to Bombay. We moved to Bombay. So little Rajiv was a bit of a crybaby, very anxious around people, but he could draw sort of well, and it was one of the only things he could do well. So, and he had parents that, okay, I'm just going to switch to I because calling myself he is a bit weird. When I was a young boy, I loved to draw, and my parents encouraged me, and it sort of, I felt validated that it was one thing I could do well, and it just grew over time. I had an inflated ego because I thought I was the best artist in the whole world, age 9 or 10. And then, of course, when you go to art school, all that comes crashing down because everybody is so brilliant. And it's good. It's important that something punctures your ego. When I was in the 10th standard, I had a friend who went to JJ School of Art, and that's when I knew before, because my father's father had traveled to France a couple of times on work. So he had been to the Louvre, and when I was small, I had painted a portrait of him in oils, and so he had this grand plan that his grandson was going to be an artist in the tradition of I don't know, Monet and Renoir and all that. Which was far too ambitious, of course, but it was helpful in that, you know, it was not so much of a struggle that many many people who want to get into fine arts or anything non-traditional in terms of studies, it wasn't such a struggle because my parents were quite happy to let me get into a stream like that. So then that part is done. No, I went to JJ School of Art, studied painting, and then I went to NID and studied animation. And
how can you fast forward like this? Like, tell me I think see, you're the first
JJ
person I'm talking to who went to JJ. I don't think I have in the podcast, I don't think I've had anybody from JJ before. Like NID, of course, we have had many, you know, Srishti, we have had many, your IDC, we have had many, but yeah, JJ. So let's talk about that a little bit. Revisit that maybe.
JJ School of Art, it's very hard to get in. I almost didn't get in. I was on the wait list. And then somebody, so there's applied art. There are four colleges within JJ School of Art. There's architecture, applied art, fine art, and I think printing technologies. So most people who apply for fine art also apply for applied art. So and applied art is basically commercial art. It's the most sought after course because
it gives you jobs.
Can have some sort of career after
exactly.
that. So even if you're on the waiting list in fine art, Somebody will leave and go to applied art at some point. So that's how I got in, through the skin of my teeth to JJ School of Art. It wasn't really a culture shock because I had friends who had studied there, but it was really wonderful to spend all your day, honing your skills and just painting and drawing and sketching and thinking about art and studying about the history of art. It was quite wonderful. I really loved my time there. And also being around other people who are so amazing at what they do and skilled, and also from different parts of, well, JJ, not so much. They are mostly from Maharashtra and Bombay. But What else?
That's interesting because I would think JJ would have like, you know, a much more diversity in terms of the, you know, people coming in from the parts of the country.
There
because JJ
was,
is a
but
sought after, right?
I think there's a reservation quota, if I'm not mistaken, for, and it does seem to favor the local state a little bit. But there were people, but just I'm looking at it from the context of, you know, how diverse NID is. It's really a cross section of the country, and JJ was not exactly that. It was still. I met people I had not met.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people from places I had not met
mm-hmm.
before. But yeah, it wasn't as diverse as NID.
NID makes sense. And from JJ, because you went in for fine arts, and you know, I was when I read your the bio that you had written out, and you know, I read that you're from JJ and you did fine arts. I don't know why. And that may be like a bias in my head, maybe, and probably we can talk about that, which is, you know, I was like, okay, somebody who does fine art then comes into children's book illustration, which according to me, stylistically is so different, right? Like from the very nature of it is so different. I'm sure there has to be similarities. At the end of the day, it's art at the end of the day. But, how did that happen? Like, you know, looking at, let's say, because for me, fine art would mean, which is a little more, for the lack of better words, rigid, maybe a little more process oriented, let's call it, you know, whereas a children's book, I would say, is a lot more whimsical. I don't know why. And again, it may be my own stereotype, but I cannot use the word whimsical for fine art. Is that a problem? Or do you think that's actually like a pattern?
That's interesting, but I feel like it's a natural progression. In fact, you know, many of the illustrators, the old children's book illustrators from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, they're all from fine art backgrounds, as far as I know. But I feel like it's, So I didn't know about children's book illustrations. It was not a plan of mine when I was at art school.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely knew about illustration as a field, and I had seen work. JJ School of Art is in town in Bombay, mm-hmm. and near Fountain you have these roadside book stalls.
Correct.
on the Flora Fountain.
Right.
So I remember finding one really old tattered copy of Illustrators Now, I think, like one big fat book of you know, different illustration from around the world, or the US, I'm not sure, but just had a diversity of styles, and it had some book illustrations, some editorial illustrations. So that was how I even knew that illustration exists. But yeah, like I was saying, I didn't really plan to,
of course,
to go from fine art to children's book illustration, but, so the route was that after I finished JJ, I was quite certain that I was not going to make it as an artist who painted large paintings and then displayed in a gallery.
Why?
I don't know. I was young and I didn't really have anything to say. I had not experienced a lot of life, and I couldn't imagine.
Right.
I love to paint, and I painted large canvases for college, and I genuinely wanted to paint, but I didn't have a angle or a, you know, mm-hmm. a lot to communicate as such. But anyway, I was certain that I wanted to study more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out about NID because a couple of my friends were applying there. I had also applied abroad at the same time. So in my head, I thought I'll study graphic design because it seemed to have some clear application in the real world. So I had applied for graphic design at NID as well as animation. I knew a little bit about animation and I love the idea of, you know, making drawings move or paintings move, adding the dimension of time to your art. So it wasn't so much from a storytelling perspective, but just the form itself and wanting to make things move and bring things to life. So I applied to NID and I was fortunate to get through to the animation program.
And this was right after JJ, like literally right after.
Yeah, right after JJ.
Which batch were you in NID?
I joined in 2004.
So that would mean, that would mean like a few years after, let's say, your Prashant Miranda and...
many years. I think Prashant Miranda was
1999, 94
or 94.
I think 99. No,
he would have graduated in 99.
Graduated,
would have joined.
Correct.
And before around 2005 or so, people stayed quite a long time. Even though the
what do you mean?
The program was maybe I think 4 or 5 years for the undergraduate, you would end up spending time there because you would be making your film and it wasn't that strict. You wouldn't have to immediately finish and pack up your bags and leave. It was a lovely space to, I mean, it still is. But it was a community of people who were making amazing work.
I think your senior would also be somebody who her episode would come out, I think, a couple of episodes before you, Kavita Arvind. She's also an idea.
She taught, she was my teacher, actually.
She mentioned that she was a left film, and she kind of came
film
back.
Teacher.
She mentioned
she's amazing.
She's doing
such amazing work now.
Correct. And she also does a lot of, mentoring and coaching. So when I had my conversation with her post the recording, I kind of, just had this little bit of a chat with her around, what are the opportunities of, maybe chances of me getting coached by her? Because I feel that I'm at a place where I constantly, I probably need somebody to probably guide me a little bit or, critique. It is just critique is what I'm really looking for. So that I really understand if I'm like, the other day, I think you and I had that conversation over chat, if you remember, like I picked up one of your books, right? And one of your earlier books, this underwater one, right? And
Dive,
correct. And it's still on my table. So, Dive. And I honestly loved your illustrations, and I know it was a different style and probably it was a very early Rajiv Ipe style, but it's not what you have today, like Maithili and the other books that you have. I really liked what you said that, so for the listeners, there's this book called Dive. If you ever get a chance, it's definitely available. Pratham Books, correct. And I picked it up off, a bookstore in Bangalore. And the illustrations are amazing. Okay. I love the color. I love the illustration. I love the details. And Rajiv is known for details. He's just known for, storytelling within a story. And that's something which I absolutely love. And then I told Rajiv, hey, listen, I picked up this book. And he said, that's probably one of the books I did not really like much as in, the art style. I'm like, what are you saying? And he said that, the work is very rigid. I think that's the word you used, right, Rajiv?
Actually, I don't remember exactly what I said, but what I meant is that it's carrying the burden of trying to represent reality quite faithfully. But it doesn't take too many liberties in terms of the art. It does feel a bit rigid now that I look at it. And I think I could have been a bit more free in my drawings at that time.
Right. And,
But it's okay. It's a process.
Yeah, that's of course, that's a process, right? And that's also like the whole factor of time, like you mentioned a while ago, right? But then when I looked at, and I came back home after the conversation, and you know, I came back home, I pulled out all the other books that I have of yours, the more recent ones, and you know, I kind of kept them side by side, and I realized what you're really talking about, right? And that's, and that resonated more with me because lately I have been, you know, thinking this about my own work that, you know, even I feel my work is a little rigid. Like, you know, I do try to go out of, you know, this whole conversation. I think we will probably talk about this a little more later, but, you know, this whole dilemma of should I stay, like using your own words, like faithful to realism, or should I take a detour and, you know, go and make things even more stylized, right? And that's where I think that that's also where confidence comes into the picture. Is that
exactly
matters a lot.
It's all about confidence. Yeah. It's all about confidence and not worrying that, oh no, am I going to ruin this piece of paper? If you ruin it, you ruin it. You start, you draw another picture. But that's where it comes from, I think. And some of the work that I love the most has this extreme feeling of freedom, like that person when they're creating this art, they've been having a great time, and it feels like flying almost. not
I get it.
Not painstakingly, you know, chipping away at something, which is also okay. I mean, there are all kinds of ways to make art, I suppose. But lately, I'm subscribing to this this flying model.
It's flying model.
Of creating
that
art.
Makes sense. That makes sense. See, that's why I said, you know, when you think of fine art, I don't think of that, the word that you use again, flying. I would not think of flying. It would be that painstaking, and again, nothing, not to take away anything from it. It's brilliant. It's skilled draftsmanship. But the idea is, you know, I don't know. Like, I think, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, currently, what are you subscribing to? Because when I was growing up, you know, I used to look at all these beautiful paintings from Rajasthan and, you know, the old, like the antique Indian art forms, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, they would literally sit and draw each and every leaf and color that damn thing and shade that damn thing. And it would look so beautiful, right? But then, and I think I was trying to copy that also back in the day, right? And that's what I was subscribing to. But now you're right. But don't you think it's weird, Rajiv? Like, you know, this whole whimsical thing, if I go by the whole social standards, don't you think as human beings grow, they should, like, subscribe to the more painstaking and complicated art forms rather than, you know, just taking a pencil and just having fun and making the illustrations fly? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we are brought up to think like that. We are brought up to think that if you work really hard and put your head down and just focus and be serious. That's the way to be an adult and get things done. And it's true. Like being whimsical in art doesn't mean not working hard, I suppose. You still have to put in all the hours to be able to draw confidently like that.
Correct.
It doesn't just happen. Like without the practice and without the training and without you know, the dedication, you will have confidence, but perhaps it may not be the best. Actually, I don't know how to talk about art, you know, creating art. It's so hard. It's like somebody says, no, talking about music is like dancing about architecture. It's like that.
that makes sense, you know. But yeah, like, you know, the whole idea around the style. Okay, so we'll come to style. So
no, but yeah, just to get back to that, I think all you know, the context is probably important to what approach you take to the art, whether it's very intricate and or it's very loose. It probably depends on the context in which that art is created, and in the case of picture books, I mean, the story should it needs to resonate with the story for sure.
Correct.
So Quentin Blake's art I would categorize as really loose drawings.
Correct.
And they work
beautifully
that. Actually, yeah.
Correct.
But actually, Quentin Blake's drawings will work with anything. I think.
Do you think Wilkins Blake work will work on a book which is about war?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
It'll work on anything. It'll work in the your aeroplane safety instruction card also. It'll be lovely.
Nice. They're so bad. Now I always wonder, like last
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah, that's so the that's really rigid.
Yeah, that's really rigid. Like, and you know, I was flying Indigo, and I realized that the safety instruction card had, you know, the character that was there, you know, who was trying to like show you how to wear a seatbelt and all of that, was actually wearing a turban, which reminded me of the old Air India one. I'm like, why is this guy coming here? Is it like some universe that I don't know of? And you know, they are like multiplying and they're coming into the other parallel universes. But yeah, so
actually, this is a great project. We should get, we should propose this. Get children's book illustrators to illustrate.
Do the safety.
But really the wild problem, ones.
Really wild ones. So the problem is that a lot of people probably read it in the wrong way. And, you know, that will create another controversy or whatnot.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's just finish off your NID chapter first before we move to the style and the whole thing. So why would you say sorry?
No. We were talking about how, you know, how weird it is to go from fine art to children's book illustration. And then we went on a tangent from
there. Oh, no. So tangent is what? So Paper Pencil Podcast, like the middle name should
tangent.
Be tangent. And second middle name should be food. Like the number of times I have taken a tangent into food and actually had like an hour long conversation with an artist just about food. I think I've lost the count as well.
Paper Pencil Food Tangent Podcast.
Food Tangent Podcast. Yeah, that works even better. Like, why not? Okay, so NID. So what happens in NID for you?
So I fall in love with animation. Just the medium and the magic of, you know, putting drawings together and then creating movement and life and characters that that are alive. I really fell in love with animation, and I'm still in love with animation. It's I feel like I found my place in the world at NID. So from there, after I finished NID, I worked in an animation studio.
Oh.
Where we were working on short animated projects, ID station IDs for television channels and some small spots and ad films and things like that. And around that time, somebody, a batchmate of mine from NID, who was running a graphic design studio. They were designing some books for Katha books in Delhi. And they asked me if I'd be interested in illustrating one. And so I jumped at that opportunity, and I really loved the process of illustrating a book. It was a book written by Geeta Dharmarajan called Dinosaur Long as 127 Kids. And what was exciting for me is that, you know, animation is a lot of work. You work really hard, and you make 24 drawings a second or whatever. And then you have a few seconds of animation after a long time and effort. And you can tell a very short piece of story or whatever, as opposed to, you know, in a picture book, you can tell a slightly more sustained story, a longer story, just being one person working in isolation. So that was exciting for me. And of course, to see your work in print and in the hands of other people in the real world is wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
Even after all these years?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
If somebody comes and tells you, my child loves your book, or if
like bugs you some thousand times on Instagram saying, oh, I love this book of yours.
So it's fantastic. It's fantastic when a child tells you that they've enjoyed your art in a book, or an adult tells you that. It's equally satisfying. And what I think is the most exciting for me is when someone is drawn into the world of books in general, through the art because that's how it was for me. I wasn't the best reader when I was a child.
Right.
But I always enjoyed the images, and that was the sort of hook for me to enter the world of books.
Nice.
So yeah,
so
it's
how many
satisfying.
books have you done so far?
I don't know, around 30, 32.
I'm sure
32.
it's more than 32. I'm sure it's more than 32. Come on, like every time I've been to a bookstore, somehow I have found a new Rajiv Ai book that I've not seen before. Like not new as in not like, you know, recently published, but a book that I like Dive. I don't know how long ago you did Dive. Hey, that's Chitty.
Doogie.
Doogie.
Dugga.
Dugga. Dugga, right. Ah. Oh my God. Okay. So of course the listeners won't be able to see. So, you know, hey, shit, I forgot about that book completely. I completely forgot about the book. So, Rajiv had done, this, wordless book, right?
Yes.
Wordless with
called
Pratham,
Dugga.
If I'm not. Pratham.
Yes. Pratham.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. So, folks, if you want, or rather if you're interested, I would highly recommend this book to you. If you, and especially if you like animals and dogs, please try and find this book. I think it's on Storyweaver as well, right? So
it's on Storyweaver. It's not in print.
It's not in print. Right.
Yeah.
So go to Storyweaver, everybody. And, you know, I'll try and see if I can, you know, link that to the show notes as well. It's, of course, free. So you can just go through the book online and, you know, free, of course. And, you know, just go through that book. And it's such a beautiful, wonderful story. And, you know, the whole illustration. And you can literally feel the emotions, the energy of this dog, the characters. It's just so heartwarming. And it speaks to you. Rajiv, I think, you know, out of all the books that I have, I'm so sorry, I forgot about that, like, you know, out of all the books that you have done so far, or at least I have seen, I think you call it Dugga, I will call it Dugga, because, you know, I'm a Bengali, and Dugga is what we call Durga in a very Dugga is what we call Durga in a much more, you know, a loving sort of a connotation.
Oh,
right?
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah. So
that's
for
interesting.
Example, in Bengal, and it's I'm pretty sure all the listeners who are Bengalis will relate to this. So let's say when you are leaving home, let's say you're going somewhere, right? And your mother or your grandmother, whoever is, like, you know, the female, like, you know, the elder female member of the family, she'll say Dugga Dugga, which is, you know, calling out to the goddess to say, hey, listen, make sure this person has a good journey or whatever. So Durga Durga, but it is kind of, you know, pronounced as Dugga Dugga. So when I actually saw the name Dugga, I didn't read it as Dugga. For me, it was Dugga. So, and that's why I also thought you may have a Bengali connection. You know, that's why a lot of times I've actually felt that. So, yeah. So for the listeners coming back, please go through that story. It is beautiful. That story will speak to you. I promise. If you haven't seen, please go through it. I'll of course add the link of Storyweaver. Anyway, so coming back.
Thanks for saying that.
Oh no, I love that book. I absolutely love that book. You know, there are a few books of yours. Clearly from the storytelling perspective, not even your style, which I absolutely love, which is Dugga being one, or Dugga being one, and Mathli also. I know, you know, Smith also, a common friend Smith has also kind of been a part of that journey.
Yes.
But Mathli for me also, you know, that I really like that story. Plus, I really like the illustration and, you know, how you created that whole world. So we'll talk about that. So yeah,
yeah.
So 32 plus books so far. Out of that, which is your favorite book? This is like the most difficult question. Yeah, favorite, most favorite. Including the Storyweaver ones, which is not like not printed, let's say.
Most of them are printed, actually. Most of the Storyweaver books are also printed. They're not in print. Not all of them are in print anymore. But I would say Dugga was quite a satisfying piece of work for me. Having lived through a bit of that story, it was also it was nice to be able to put that down in a book for other people to share and experience. In terms of art, I think it's a bit more comprehensive in terms of storytelling compared to to anything I had worked on before. So that's satisfying. But also the Maithili and the Minotaur series are lots of fun because the writer C.G. Salamander has he creates these mad characters and this mad world, and it's quite a joy to help to bring that to life. It's also the longest sort of the largest piece of
work
that I've worked on. The second book is I think 88 pages. It's quite a lot of work. And
so
quite
Sahitya
satisfying.
Was telling me the other day that you know about C.G. Salamander, like she was saying that you know
she's worked with him.
She's worked with him, and she's like, you know, every time you go to him, that man already has some 5-6 stories ready. Like it's just like ready. It's just there.
Correct.
Like
correct.
Let's
correct.
Just take it off.
And then while you're talking to him about those 5-6 stories, two more will come out.
You know, another person, like, because again, like, let's talk about our common friend for a while. Let's give her some airtime. This sweetest Gujarati girl that we know, who's from Bangalore. I don't know how Gujarati she is, but Smith, you know, and I think since you said about that whole thing that, you know, while you're talking to C.G. Salamander, he probably have two more stories. I think that's something that you've seen with Smith as well, right? You know, Smith, I don't know if you listen to, given that Rajiv in this episode, I think you will listen to this episode. I'm very sure of that. And so, you know, Smith and I were driving one day and we were on Silkboard, right? So we were like taking off. You're coming from the other side, going towards.
So you're not driving, basically. You're standing in traffic at Silkboard.
No, I was driving. I was driving. Trust me, even though it was like, you know, some 5-6 kilometers per hour, but I was driving. Accelerator was there. So, you know, I had this one idea and I was just like talking to her about this, about a story concept, right? And I just happened to, and I love how these people think, right? I just gave her a concept, just a starting, and Smith, in a few minutes, she riffed it off, and now she's putting out a full-on story in front. And I was oh, this is such a brilliant story. We need to do something. Of course, we never did something. But yeah, the point is, like, probably we will. But the idea is, I really like how the brains of these people work. Like, you know, they just give them one thing and they'll just bring out like a whole new dimension out of that. It's something which I want to learn, if it's possible to learn, though.
I don't know how you learn. I think you just do.
Correct.
Do it. Yeah. Like correct. Get rid of all filters and all obstacles and just in your mind. I mean, not
of course.
Anything else.
of course. Okay. So let's now come to your style. Okay. Because that's one of the first things that drew me towards you. Right. I'll tell you a couple of things I personally like about your style. I like in terms of color, how minimalistic it is. I want to talk about your color palette because I see Rajiv Aip has a color palette which goes from book to book. Like you pick up pretty much any recent works of Rajiv Aip, there is a certain color palette. The color purple comes up a lot. Okay, like that's one shade of purple. You talk about it in Maithili, you talk about it in any book, that color comes up a lot. There is this one weird shade of green that comes up a lot, right? So weird shade. I'm not going to say it's a saturated green or anything. It's a very weird shade of green. And in so much so that, you know, your Maithili is the second book, the cover page itself is that purple that I'm talking about, that Rajiv IP purple, right? So tell me about your style. How did that build up? Because, you know, okay, no, sorry, I forgot to continue on that. So color is one thing I like. I like how your line work is not very solid. It's not very, you know, refined or something. I like the fact that with your line work, you can fly, like the word you use, you can fly because you can do a lot of, you know, it's very sketchy, it's very pencil-y, it's very graphite. It's not ink, right? So it's not rigid. It's not structured, and at the same time, you know, you still manage to, your characters look a certain way. I love that about your work. Your characters, you can see a character and like, okay, this is a Rajiv character for sure, right? Your characters look a certain way. The poses are extremely animated. Your poses are never, you know, somebody is like, even let's say, you know, a kid is thinking, that's the whole scene. Your pose will never be somebody just sitting and looking up and probably pointing with the finger or something. It'll be something maniac. It'll be something amazing. Like, you know, very outlandish. I love that. Lot of guiding and leading lines in your composition to kind of show a lot of movement, and your animation background, I think, comes through in that. Like, you know, there's a lot of movement, a lot of. And also one last thing is, you know, I do like the, I think with C.G. Salamander that works even better because you guys create some weird, some really weird characters, which I love. And they do some weird stuff. Like, you know, I think in the first Metheny book, there's a snake character in Nag something. I forgot the name.
Nagesh.
Nagesh, Nagesh. Yeah,
Nagesh, Nagesh.
Nagesh, Nagesh. Right. And Nagesh in the background, I remember, you know, I read the book a couple of, it's been a little while, of course. But in the background, I remember, dude, what is Nagesh doing? Like, the story is in one place. Nagesh is doing his own thing in the back. So I love these things about your, you know, your work. And the last thing I would say is I really like in a story, you do have this way of making it look like a film almost. So if I talk about Dugga, you know, I don't have a great memory, but Rajiv, I think the first and the last scene of the entire book are same. So it's like you start off with a very wide angle shot from the top. And you see that, I think if I'm not
the
on
neighborhood.
The train line, the neighborhood and the train line, and you're setting up the map for the audience, you
kind of
setting up the story over there. Is that Yelahanka by any chance, that neighborhood?
No, that's Cooktown.
Cooktown,
based on Cook. Not Cooktown exactly, Banaswadi. The Banaswadi railway station area. Yeah.
Got it. And so you start off with that. So that's like, you know, your setting of the whole scene, and like the story begins once upon a time, sort of a page, and the whole story goes through, and the opening body closure. So your closure is again that same shot, but this time, you know, some things have changed, some things have moved, and you're kind of, the camera is zooming out and like the credits roll up, right? So that's a feeling that I get in a lot of your books, which I absolutely love. So yeah, that's enough of me. Coming back to you. So tell me about your style. How did that come up? What led to that style? What do you think of when you are working in that style?
Hey, firstly, that's so nice, man. All these things you observed and said, it's so nice, and thank you. And if I'm feeling low, I hope it's okay if I call you and you'll say some nice things.
Done. I'll be your cheerleader. I'll be your cheerleader. I do not mind. Rika, I'll be your cheerleader. Done. You can listen to this episode like some, you know.
About style, what can I say? These are not exactly conscious choices, but I had been feeling for a while that I'm not too fond of work that is very rigid and static, and I enjoy, at least because of the books I've had the privilege of working on, they've lent themselves nicely to drawings that have a sense of dynamism and movement and action and things like that, and so in that sense I've just found that it's nice to not to retain the feeling of pencil lines that seems to add or enhance that feeling of movement and you know, the potential for movement and action. Whereas once you, I don't know, in my experience, when I ink drawings, they change, they become really still, and I keep using the word rigid because I can't think of anything else, but it does feel like that to me. So you know, with digital technology, you're able to darken things and lighten things and increase contrast. So you don't, I don't feel the need to ink things when I can just scan a pencil drawing in and then increase the darks, the blacks, so that it moves to black. About the purple and green, I converted to a religion a few years back, that in which those colors are really important, and that's why all my art has purple and green. It's they're also the colors of Wimbledon, and I'm a big tennis fan. And it doesn't have a name, but purple and green are sort of...
I knew something was coming up. Okay, I knew something was coming up. What the heck? Even the
Wimbledonism.
Even the kapda on the side is purple. That same purple in color.
The cat inside, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cat inside, right? So yeah, for the listeners, you know, this is the scene. So I forgot to set the scene for you guys because of course you can't see. So Rajiv is sitting in this room, you know, and quite nicely, and you know, there are these cats just roaming around. You know, Duga just walked in and now is sleeping really peacefully. Beside him there is a chair which is covered by yet again a purple cloth, and under the purple cloth in that dark cave is a cat. Which is
oh no,
in
there's
there.
no cat
It's not
anymore.
there. Yeah, the
Cat
cat
has
left. Oh my
gone.
God. Yeah. So when we started recording, the cat was there. And like, yeah. Are you like? I'm sure you've been asked this before. Cat person or dog person?
I'm an animal person. I like all, but I'm if I have to be if I'm pushed into a corner, then I will go into the cat corner because
Smith is
it's the
also
less
cat. Like,
popular corner.
yeah. Oh, okay. That's right. No. So you know, for me. I of course love animals. I really love dogs. Okay, but I'm a little scared of cats, and I'll tell you why. I find them a little unpredictable. That's the only reason. Like, you know, I want to cuddle a cat, but the point is, like, I'm like, oh shit, what if the cat just jumps up and, you know, scratches? Because I dogs are very predictable. They're just like, dogs are idiots, I would say. They're lovable idiots. They, you know, exactly
yeah.
what they're gonna do. They're just super super naive and cute, right? But
yeah.
Cats, like, I don't understand cats. Like,
Yeah,
they
they're
don't
like
even...
illustrators. They're also unpredictable. And they also need cuddles.
They also need cuddles, right? But you never know when the sharp pencil nib will come and scratch you out. So that's the only reason, you know, I've never been able to really warm up to a cat. So I know you've been to Lightroom, right? I know, right? You've been there a bunch of times, right? In fact, I've seen photos of you, but sadly, I have never been in Lightroom when you were there. Priya was there. I met Priya over there. But Lightroom has
Oh,
a
nice.
Billy. You know that, right? Lightroom has that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there.
What's he?
Forgot the name.
What she called something Z, I think.
Yeah, I forgot the name. But you know, the one of the times I went there and I was just sitting, Smith and I was sitting and talking. And you know, this cat came and I got like really rigid. Let's use the word rigid again. Like, I got rigid because I'm like, oh shit, what will it do? And it came like really close by and then it started like growling at me. I'm like, what the heck is happening?
No, she has a really, really strange meow.
Yeah, it was growling. It was growling at me. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, Rajiv, thank you so much for reminding me of that. But yeah, but then Smith could, like, you know, and she is definitely, you know, good with cats. So she could really pet the cat and, you know, then the cat like slept off and all of that happened. But I don't think I could breathe really easily when she was around because I was like, why is she growling at me?
It may also be a pet dander. That's why you couldn't breathe. Like cat fur in the air.
No,
and
no, 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 nothing.
Sure.
I
allergies
thankfully I
or
don't have that.
something.
No. Thankfully, I don't have that. You know, the closest I have been to a cat is, I think, in Indranagar, I picked up a kitten once, and that's the closest I have been. But
Wow.
beyond that, I think, yeah, I don't think so. Apart from that Indranagar kitten. But anyway, coming back. So,
yes.
So yeah, you were talking about your style. So, you know, the color. So, the color
yeah,
of
yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah.
The purples and the greens and this, like, you're not using any saturated colors anymore. Why is that so? Like, is it the only thing that you're using everywhere?
Hard to answer. Yeah, these are not very conscious choices. I don't know exactly why, but it also depends on the book. For example, I'm working on a book now, which is another book in the Puchku series by Deepanjana Pal. And those colors are wild and weird. There's a purple character. Well, yeah, purple. I didn't think of that.
Exactly. There you go.
But yeah, no. But it is. It's quite quite bright and colorful and generally cheerful.
Yeah, but compared to your other works, it's brighter. I would say yes, it is brighter. But still, your saturation level, like, you know, if I look at the whole thing, your saturation is kind of on the lower side. Like, you know, it's you've got that. But I think that works out for you because now that kind of has become your signature visual language. I think. The only place where I've seen your, you know, with your work, some really saturated colors are used are in the book covers, and I'm the Duckbill books, right? And I'm pretty sure the book covers are not made by you. I'm pretty sure somebody else is making the book cover, and hence they are going for such bright and saturated.
Yeah, there's a designer who does the
there
cover.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because the illustrations are still like that Rajiv I color palette, but. Cool. So
maybe I've grown old and the rods and cones in my eyes have deteriorated, or whichever
correct.
One is responsible for color.
For the colors, right?
And also maybe just I've become jaded by life, and all the color has run out.
Achha.
Because the first two books I did the first book I colored I drew with crayons,
mm-hmm.
and a limited, like not 120 shades, mm-hmm. box of crayons, like a 12 mm-hmm. shade box of crayons. So mm-hmm. so you're limited by the medium that you work in, and that was like eye popping. Colors in
disco.
That book, and yeah, second book was also disco colors, and then now we find ourselves here. In another couple of years, it will be black and white, and then maybe after that, just white, just texture.
White.
You know, yeah, you
just
have to feel the paper. Yeah, just feel the paper to understand what's happening. Like,
but
Braille.
That's such a cool idea. Think of it. That's such a cool idea, right? For those kids books that are those touch and feel books and stuff. I don't own any. I don't think I own any. I have still not reached that stage in my life where I'll buy touch and feel books, I think. But I think that's such a cool idea still, right? Like your experience in the book. It's like that Van Gogh experience. Did you go for that, by the way?
No. What?
That is the Van Gogh experience.
Well,
wait, you don't know about
here
that.
In Bangalore?
No, Mumbai. Your place, Bombay. It may come to Bangalore, I'm not sure. But you know about that thing though, right? That experience.
No, I don't actually. I don't think I've heard about this.
So it started off in I think in the US it started off, if I'm not wrong. But the idea was that, all of Van Gogh's paintings, they are taken off, in a digital format. And I think there's some animation from what I could figure, a little bit of, they've taken Van Gogh paintings, and what they've done is, they have animated that slightly. And when I say animated, completely like
full swirls on and things.
Exactly, swirls and things. Mm-hmm. Some of the elements probably, they have kind of cut it out in a different layer. And, I can tell you
technically.
And, brought it in the foreground, and they have probably added some something of that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. Motion. Wait. Chuck it. Like I don't remember the name right now, but the idea is they've done that, and the point is you go to this one gallery, which is like unregular, really open sort of a gallery, and they have added projectors to the entire gallery. The lights are off, and they have projected those animated images across the walls and on the floors and everything. So when you go, it's called the Van Gogh experience. You go there and you are literally in a Van Gogh painting sort of a thing.
Right.
The things are moving and everything, and you're just watching, and you absorb that. The closest I have seen in Bangalore, and listeners in Bangalore, if you guys are interested, in Jayanagar or JP Nagar, is it? I'm confused. I think it's JP Nagar, that Museum of Music, Indian Music. Indian music experience. So if you ever get a chance to go there, they have this one, when you enter, the first thing that you see inside the gallery is a thing like that, where they have a circular sort of a room. If you've been to Binale and all, they do these kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a circular sort of a room. They've got some 5 projectors on the top, and they have like a continuous sort of a viewing experience,
right,
and they
right,
tell a story
right.
through that. It's quite good. It's actually quite good. But yeah, so that's the Van Gogh experience. It came to Bombay last month. And it's supposed to come to Bangalore as well, but we still don't know. And but then again, the feedback was quite mixed. The people with an art background, they were like, oh, this is fantastic, this is amazing, to see that. A lot of people, maybe with or without an art background, was like, dude, am I in a slideshow? Or is it like a screensaver? Like, and because if you look at it at the end of the day, it's a screensaver. Right? Things are moving and all that, right?
Mm.
Am I in a room where a screensaver is being played with projectors on? So, yeah, I don't know. I won't comment unless I go and see it for myself. But, a bunch of students said they actually enjoyed that, because if you are a fan of Van Gogh, it's a different experience altogether. How did we reach here? Oh, we're talking about the touch and feel sort of a thing. Yeah. So your final stage. Nirvana stage in picture books. Yeah. So the style. So how do you work around with that? Like, so I know you just said that, you do the pencil, and then you scan it off. Does all your work
start process.
On paper? Yeah, let's talk about the process. Does everything start on paper?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable drawing on paper, and
wow.
I'm slightly uncomfortable drawing digitally to begin with.
Hmm.
Again, it depends on the style that you pick for the book that you're working on or the animation film that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think all the books that I've worked on, I've always drawn on paper and then either colored digitally or on paper itself.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to start off every project thinking, this one I will not touch the computer except for the final scanning process. But then I'll always be late, and so it kind of speeds up things to work digitally, at least partially. And also you can you don't have to chuck your entire drawing if you make a mistake and things.
Control
like
Z.
That.
Or Command Z in case you're using Mac.
Command Z.
Command
not
Z.
Z.
I call it Z. I'm that generation. I call it Z. but do you color on paper as well, or do you color it?
Some projects. A recent book that I drew and wrote for Pratham Books, I drew and colored with pastels and color pencils on paper.
Wow.
And then I did some cheating on the computer as well. But
I think in that case, then you use a bunch of watercolor as well, right?
Sometimes I'll do like a halfway thing where I'll draw and add a wash, a single color wash,
mm-hmm.
On paper,
mm-hmm.
just so you have textures and the slight unpredictability of
right.
inks and watercolors,
right.
as amazing as the digital tools are now in terms of brushes and how they mimic
right the real thing,
mm. It's hard to, mistakes don't happen, like it doesn't blot unpredictably or you would have, while drawing, you would have this wrist of your hand would have rubbed against the paper, and it will create some, like the texture will get slightly blurry there, or the pencil lines blur a little bit, and you can't
right.
think of those things. They just happen.
Correct.
And there is something valuable about that,
right.
and about not being able to control watercolors and inks, that adds a human touch to this work that I kind of enjoy seeing in other work as well, and I try and bring some of that to my own work, which I find hard to do digitally.
Right. Like Bob Ross, right? Happy Accidents.
I guess I've not heard of Bob Ross, so I'm so unpurred in these things, man.
Yeah, so
sorry.
Bob Ross again, like you may have seen, but I don't know, like I know you are not really digital as such, because like you having done so many, like some 32 plus books, your Instagram page has 34 posts. How is that happening?
No, because I started, I came to the Instagram party in my late 40s. I mean, a few years back.
A few years back.
Yeah.
No, but so yeah, no, Bob Ross, of course, this American painter, if I'm not wrong, this was in, I think, 80s maybe. I am not sure of that at all. But Bob Ross was this one on primetime television, on when cable network became a thing. He used to come and teach. You remember Mad in India, right? Mad on Coco. Right. So this was like,
Mad, MAD.
MAD, right. So this was like an early version of MAD, Mad on TV in US, where this guy used to come and, teach people how to paint on television. And each episode used to be him completing one canvas. And he had the whole idea was a lot of non-artists also used to watch it, because his voice and his, the way of talking was very calming and peaceful. So that was one of the major USPs. And he used to call something happy accidents, which is when you're painting, like you mentioned, you know, something goes off somewhere and that's an accident, but that's a happy accident because you it does add value to what you're doing. Perfect.
It's the same in music. I've heard musicians talk about this, you know, the
jazz, I think.
The imperfection.
That would be
just
jazz
the imperfection of playing an instrument live is different from like a sampled
sort of a thing. Correct.
Piece. Yeah. Correct. Digitally created sample.
So, okay. How do you think? So, you know, does Rajiv think?
How do you think? Yes. how to answer this question?
No. So tell me this, because I want to know this. Okay. So let's say when you get a script, right?
Process,
right? And no, so not process in terms of you know, you storyboarding or something. I'm like, what is going on in your mind when you're storyboarding? What are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to not achieve? So you know, you get a script and you've done it some 32 plus times already. I'm sure you already have a process or a way of thinking in your mind. First of all, tell me, is there a filter basis which you choose a script?
Yeah, to some extent. Like, I'm not going to draw a book that scripts are important.
You
didn't know where to go with
that. And then you immediately apply the emergency.
No, like if a political party approaches me to draw their their campaign slogan or their
the manifesto,
I'm not interested in being a part of that, for sure.
Right.
But even in children's books,
even if the political party is paying well, like, you know, even 10 children's books will not be able to pay you as much.
10 children's books won't pay you much in any case. I won't.
You have your new flat in electronics that you have to do the interiors and everything. Imagine they come and say, okay, we'll give you so much money that two flat interiors you'll be able to do. One in Yelahanka, one in Electronic City. Maybe another flat also in Indranagar. What if?
Nahi karunga.
Arey bap re. I was just trying to pull your leg. Okay. So about a political party. So the script.
Yeah, again, it's not like I'm sifting through scripts and picking out ones that I like. I'm generally, and children's books are really, really nice. Like most publishers are doing really nice work. And I really enjoy books that have interesting storylines, and if there's some humor and some silliness and madness, that really sort of resonates, and I feel like there's lots of potential with the art as well. I love working on books like that.
Did you watch a lot of movies or cartoons when you were growing up?
We watch cartoons. Yeah,
because I tell you why I asked this question. Regular. I thought about this. In a lot of your artwork, when I look at the artwork, there's a lot of drama that you put. Okay, and it's very silly drama, which I love. That you mentioned.
No, this is
silly. Silly is my middle name or something. I remember. The other day.
No, drama. I'm so boring in real life. You know, people have said, "Abhi kuch to bolo, move your arms, do something." Even when you were saying about action and posing and things like that, art is where I can really do things like that, because I can be silly and exaggerated because I'm not like that in real life. I'm very understated, boring sort of personality. And all of it gets channeled into the art somehow.
Yeah, because
which is.
you add a lot of, you know, these audio cues as well. It's not just the exaggeration, the poses, but you know, in your illustration, like, you know, in Maithili also, so many pages are there, like so many, you know, these pages where, you know, there's these like whoosh and dun 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 thing happening. So I always imagine, you know, the world inside your head to be very dramatic and, you know, very exaggerated comedy sort of a thing. I don't think your comedy sense is, you know, very refined sort of, you know, very bougie sort of a comedy. It's like very, very, very slapstick, very out there, loud sort of a thing.
General compartment, not first class.
Yeah, that's
Have
such
to
a
use a Bombay local
Bombay
train
local
reference.
train reference. That's a good one, by the way. That's a very good one.
Yeah.
So, go back to your point of like, how are you thinking? So you choose a script which has a great story, let's say, then.
Yeah, again, when I say I choose a script, I have not rejected scripts in general. I work on whoever's willing to work with me. I'm happy to work.
Apart
Unless,
from
of
the
course,
political party.
correct.
Have they ever reached out to you?
No.
Okay.
No, not for books, but anyway. What are they saying? About process of when you read a script. What would you like to know? I mean, when you read a script, you know, images sort of form in your head. Just while you're reading anything, when you're reading a book, I'm sure you have images and sounds in your head, and it's just a matter of sort of consciously paying attention to those and then trying to transfer them into onto paper or into real life. And it's not a direct, immediate thing that you read a script and then you know who your character is. It's a process of trial and error. You draw like some 50 characters and then you think of who most represents the character that you're reading about. And then you're also talking to editors and the writer and an art director and it's very much a team thing where everybody says like this might be our character, but maybe we want this person's nose and that person's eyes and ears like that fellow we saw in the bus day before yesterday. So it's like a police sketch artist. It's like कैसा था उनका आंख कैसा था गोल 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 आंख था एकदम राउंड आईज एंड देन यू ड्रॉ लाइक दैट
You have a scene, like, you know, since you're talking about nose and eyes, you have a very specific view. There's a Rajiv eye nose that you draw. Like, all your characters have that one nose, and that, you know, I do see that it's not always, but you like to draw dots for eyes, which I really respect you for. I really respect
Oh,
you for that.
really?
Yeah, I really
Wow.
respect you for that because, you know, most people.
Respect is a strong word
I'll tell you
for
why.
dot eyes.
I will tell you why. I'll tell you why. Yeah, I know respect is a big word for this, but I'll tell you why dots for eyes and respect. Okay. I have been very confused. So when I started off, you know, with this whole character illustration and, you know, children's book rather, basically going away from realism, right? So because for the longest time as a child, you know, and again, I did not go to an art college and all of that. So I never had that opportunity where somebody consciously introduced me to character illustration and like the whole whimsical illustration style and, you know, going to that. So for the longest time, I was going to art classes back as a kid in Bengal and, you know, I was sketching Rabindranath Tagore left, right and center. Okay. And of course, you know, I had to sketch Rabindranath Tagore with the real eyes rather than, you know, dots for eyes or whatever. But then when I started doing character illustrations and, you know, that's where, you know, the whole point of style also came in. I really started wondering, okay, how do I draw the eyes? I don't know why aankh mein jaake na bahut like ruk gaya main. That became like a big hurdle for me. Because I was like, I can draw eyes in this way, that way. There were so many options that I could do, right? And I tried multiple ways. Not all of those ways came very naturally to me. Like, I could do that. It's not that I could not do that. But करके ना वो मजा नहीं आया, लाइक एज इन दैट दैट फ्लाइंग थिंग दैट यू सेड दैट दैट डिड नॉट हैपन. एंड देन आई डिड आई डॉट्स एंड आई स्टेड अवे फ्रॉम डॉट्स फॉर अ लॉन्ग टाइम बिकॉज आई थॉट डॉट्स वर द लेजीएस्ट वे ऑफ डूइंग दैट. ओके एंड देन फाइनली आई डिड डॉट्स एंड आई वाज लाइक यार अच्छा लग रहा है, लाइक यू नो आई ट्राइड सो मेनी अदर थिंग्स इट वॉज ओके, द डॉट्स वॉज लाइक यार दिस लुक्स better, this looks somehow, this looks kind of, this is talking to me right now. I then did that dot wala thing for a while, and you know, I don't know if I posted too much about it, but in my own sketchbook I was drawing dots for eyes quite a bit. Now when I started doing books, you know, the first few books that I first one book that I did, which has never seen the light of day, thankfully got paid for that, but then that one and then you know the others that came in, even the last year ones that I did, when I did the first character illustration, you know, the character sheet, and I shared it with the editor or, you know, publisher or whoever, I got the thinking, nahi yaar, dots nahi chahiye. We need like goal eyes, right? Like large and goal eyes or whatever. And, you know, different styles. So, of course, I could do that, right? I could do that, but I don't know if I enjoyed it as much. Now, when I saw you, you know, in most of your books drawing dots for eyes, like, banda, ye banda sahi hai. Like, you know, he can, and that's why respect, because you could stick to that and you could make it a part of your language. And now if Rajiv, I probably draws, you know, a face which has like, you know, Puchku, I think has a different eyes, if I'm not wrong. If the, again,
big
if I mean,
almond eyes.
Big almond eyes, correct. Yeah, the Bengali kind. Yeah, exactly. So that for me is like, yes, it looks like Rajiv's work because, you know, of the line quality and all of those things. But when I come to Maithili, and I feel Maithili is a lot more of your work compared to a lot of other books. I don't know, I just get a feeling that, you know, it's a lot closer to you, and probably you have a lot more say and freedom in the execution of those books compared to a lot of other books that you do for other publishers. And that's where I see you drawing dots for eyes, and that really I really like that, because I really like the way with only dots you can express so much. The whole expression comes through without, because see, when you have got almond eyes or, you know, round eyes or whatever, if you're trying to show surprise or amazement, you can literally just change the shape of it and it becomes like, oh, I can understand. With dots, it's trickier because you're looking, I feel you're looking at so many other things also, but then that. So that's why I really respect you for, you know, having been able to hold on to those dot eyes and something as simple and tiny as dot eyes and that drop teardrop shaped nose. Your nose is most of the cases, Maithili also has the same nose, which is like a teardrop almost, or a water drop or whatever.
Wow man, I'm speechless. आपने तो पूरा ऐसे लिख दिया.
I'm Chat GPT.
Amazing. No, but I'm also curious actually how many books I've drawn dot eyes in and how many I've drawn round or almond eyes. I don't know. Again, I have not like thought about this too deeply. I think it comes probably if I go back to the character design of all these projects, I would have explored both options. I have not gone into a project thinking bas ye time to main pakka dot eyes banaunga. Like, and anybody try and stop me and see what will happen. Like, I have not that's not happened. Yeah, but again, I think this context is so important, you know. It depends on, like in Maithili and the Minotaur, for instance, there's lots of room for, firstly, it's a comic. So over a couple of panels, you get to say what the characters are going through, experiencing and saying and thinking. But then you use other techniques like body language and you know, framing and sound effects and things like that to draw focus on expressions and things like that. And for example, if the main character in the book I'm going to be drawing is always looking out of the sides of their eyes, like there's some shifty character that is like a detective who's looking, whose face is facing one way and the eyes are looking the other way. Dot eyes are not going to work for that character. So I would design the character accordingly.
Makes sense.
So this context and the story and the circumstances in which this character finds themselves is crucial to the design, I suppose.
Makes sense.
Like you said, Dota is takes like 2 minutes less to draw. So correct. In an 88 page book,
correct. We're trying to.
I have saved like 3 days of my life
by drawing Dota.
By drawing Dota. In that 3 days, I can go on holiday to the mountains electronic and come cities. Back. Or Electronic City, whichever. Faster. Huh. Mountains is probably closer.
Mountains like, is closer. Huh, for you, yes. If you are going towards your, what do you call that?
Nandi Hills.
Nandi Hills, correct. Nandi Hills or Skandagiri, I think that's closer for you.
Yeah, compared Skandagiri, to me. Yeah.
Okay, so that is one. Another thing I also see is you put a lot of, buildings and all okay. Like, we spoke about before recording Pishi and Me and all of those books, right? Where the street scenes and the urban scenes, right? That's something which you draw really well. I'm not even gonna go for that. But then I've noticed, and this I think I started noticing from the Ammachi series, right? You draw foliage really well. Like, kya sahi foliage banata hai? Like, the leaves, the, you know, the whole sketchy thing of it. Like, I'm really trying to, you know, in a lot of times I've actually, and I'll admit it publicly today, I've actually had your books open, Ammachi, and, you know, I've actually tried to recreate own nothing but background things.
Ah, nice.
The background bushes and the, you know, the leaves and stuff that you do, that's something which I really like. I really respect that, and I can't wait to do more books where I can you know get to do more foliage and probably use a similar thing, like, you know, because I love details and you put in so much of details, which that's what I think. Like, how does Rajiv think? That's the question which I keep thinking.
What is the question? How does Rajiv think?
Yeah. So let's, okay. So you mentioned that, you know, you read something, you have an image. I have one.
Yes.
So you have an image in your head. Abhi wo mere ko bhi aata hai, correct? Now, the thing is, do you go with the first image that comes to your mind, or do you have this practice of generating more, compositions for that particular scene?
Yeah. You got to create, at least I find it, there is something to be said for, you know, doing the first thing that comes into your mind, that is often quite a powerful image, but you have to try out a few things at least, if not many options, many routes to a solution, so to speak. It just also when you work like that, when you're just working on the assumption that this is option 1 of 20 or 10 or 5 or whatever, you're also drawing with a lot more freeness and confidence, because you know that everything is not invested in this one thing that I'm creating. And at least for me, I find that quite valuable, because it's just that you're creating with great freeness of mind and spirit, right. and of course at the end of it, when you're creating your final drawing, our upbringing will tell us, Abhi, now you must be very careful, huh? Now it's very important, so don't make any mistakes and be very careful and don't let anybody shake your desk and draw very nicely and carefully. But so, and then you know, it loses a quality of that your original first drawings had. So I've, in the last couple of years, I've been trying really hard to find a way to retain some of the energy and dynamism and freeness and roughness and you know, the spirit of early drawings, even in your final work, final work, not your final work.
Of course. Nee, so that's also like, and my final work also, like, you know, because the more I have seen your books or the more I have seen your work, I do know, and today, like, that's why, like I said in the beginning as well, today this is like a big deal that I'm talking to you, because, you know, I of course, over the years have collected so many children's books, because I clearly know that this is something which I really enjoy, like consuming,
That's so
producing,
nice.
executing. I really like it, right? And that's why I have given a big portion of my hard-earned money to Lightroom and a bunch of other places in you know, bookstores and also Amazon, because sometimes those books are not available. Do you also get really sad royalty percentages from publishers, or do you get something better than, you know, what other bachcha publishers, or sorry, bachcha illustrators have been offered so far? That's like a question I wanted to ask you, because you've been doing
It's
this
all
for
relative, no? Like, it depends on what you mean by better and
Okay, let me, you know, because I don't want to give real numbers outside, but do you get like, are your royalty percentages double digit or single digit? Children's book, man.
yeah, on one or two books, it sort of enters into double digit territory, but
Wow.
yeah, but it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah, like I think that's also the Indian market, right? Because I know for a fact that, you know, illustrators, other like out in other parts of the world, the percentages are a lot higher. So I think, and I remember one of the earlier conversations I've had with you where I wanted your help was around the whole finance aspect of it. Ki acha aisa karna chahiye. And I remember us talking about that as well. But yeah, chalo, let's not go into that. We have been having a good, fun conversation. I don't want to take it to the darker
Yeah, correct.
realms of
Yes.
Royalty percentages. But
Yeah.
yeah, so in terms of inspirations, who would be your inspiration? I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Matthias Dolson, is he an inspiration by any chance?
Oh, what's his work? What does
He's
he
an
do?
illustrator as well. He does a lot of whimsical work, and I've been following him since I was in school. And you know, his work is generally characterized by an amazing level of details, like an amazing level of details. And he mostly does his work with ink, like as in paper and ink. And as far as I know, he doesn't do pencil also. He just goes with a pen, and like, you know, one of those gifted people just starts off. And yeah, so who are your inspirations that way?
I can't say specifically, but when I was young, before I went to art college, I remember somebody a friend of mine who was an art student told me about this illustrator and painter called Norman Rockwell. He was an American illustrator in the mid 20th century, and he used to early or mid 20th century, and he used to illustrate the covers for a magazine called the Saturday Evening Post. And his painting and his art is characterized by being extremely detailed oil paintings, but there was a lot of character in the people and the personalities he drew, and some amount of exaggeration and caricature. But they were oil paintings, and there was a lot of focus on light and shadow and anatomy also. And that was like an early inspiration for me, and I think it has stuck over a period of time. In terms of children's books, I love the so many of the artists that are working now. Priya Kurian,
I knew you would say her name first. I knew you would
Mandy.
say Priya Kurian first. I knew. I
Of
don't know.
course, you
You
have
guys are
to.
in the same plane for me. You know, you and Priya are in the same plane when it comes to you know, the achievement level unlocked sort
No,
of a
no.
thing.
No, no, you talk to her on your podcast and then you will see that we're not on the same plane.
Achha.
She's on her own plane. In fact, when you talk about children's books, first you must say children's books illustration. First you must say Priya Kurian and then start talking.
Achha, ha,
Start having a conversation. It's
right.
like the beginning of all conversation. Yeah, but anyway, I really like her work, jokes apart. I love her work. So many amazing children's books, book illustrators is Oindri Chakraborty, Prabha Malia, Archana Srinivasan, Krishna Balashenoy, and so many. Rohan Chakravarti's work I really love.
Rohan Chakravarti, yeah.
Yeah. Mansi Parikh, who goes by the name of Crayon Cruncher.
Crayon Cruncher, yeah, correct, correct, correct.
Aina Vinaya. Yeah, so many, and also previous artists like Pulak Biswas, Atanu Roy, and Deepa Balsawar. When I say previous, I mean just like a previous generation. Not,
I've not heard of these names. I have to look them up now.
Hmm?
I've not heard of these names. I have to look them up now. The last, the previous generation.
No, you'll find their books in bookstores. There's a really lovely series of books written by Anushka Ravishankar, illustrated by Pulak Biswas, for published by Tara Books.
Okay.
Called Catch That Crocodile and Tiger in a Tree, I think, and one more. Those are some of my favorite books.
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah, I do see. Oh wow, the illustrations, is it like, you know, print of sorts, like as in a print making or a print?
I think they're painted, but I'm not
just
sure actually.
Like
I don't
that.
Know. And also, this goes back to, you know, our conversation about your question about how fine art sort of telescopes into children's book illustration. Those guys all came out of very strong fine arts traditions, as far as I know. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I'll definitely check them out. I hadn't heard of these, but I'll definitely check. Cool. So, you know, probably taking it towards the closure, Rajiv, until our next, or not next, like possible first time meet, like in person, where I can get my book signed, like your books, which I have signed
and
by you.
I have to, and your books signed by you for me.
Oh my god, like some heart emojis coming from all over the place. But a couple of more questions, and you know, then probably we'll take it towards the closure. So one question I wanted to ask you is, because you have been here, and I know this will be like a very Buddha question to ask, I'm so like sorry about this in advance, but you know, because you've been doing this for a while, you've clearly, you know, the experience wise, you know, a lot of things, what advice would you give to younglings like me? And I am ashamed to call myself a youngling, but more than 3 decades down. But yeah, so younglings like me.
What advice? I would say it's a little boring answer, but take inspiration from everywhere, all the art you see, and from life. Be observant of the things around you, and try and find a way to bring elements from your life into your art somehow. There's a lot of value in that, I feel. Draw a lot, of course, because it helps. Draw a lot just for yourself in a sketchbook. Maintain a sketchbook and draw, not necessarily play or for exhibit or exhibition or for other people's eyes, but just for yourself. It builds a muscle, and it evolves over time, and hopefully it gets better. I guess read books, children's books, and otherwise, what else? One advice, but one piece of advice, very practical advice that I give all other practicing or people who want to be illustrators, is to find an alternative stream of income if possible.
Yeah, so thankfully I have
Because
that
that's
sorted.
important.
So I first had
Yeah.
a proper stream of income, and then I said, chalo, abhi let's say do children's book illustration. And I think I'm gonna keep it that way for a while now. But yeah, and you know, the fact that you mentioned, you know, while it sounds very obvious, but it's something which I had lost for a while, and now I'm trying to come back to it, which is, you know, create art for yourself and not for others' eyes. I think, you know, for a lot of reasons over the last 1 year especially, I made so much of you know, work for other people, be it books or, you know, if nothing else, even Instagram for that matter. The thing is, you know, I realized that after a point of time, I started in a way not liking what I'm doing a lot. I don't know how to explain it, but then, you know, over the last couple of weeks, thankfully, I managed to find some time to, you know, just draw random stuff for myself in a sketchbook, right? That brings up so much of confidence, and that kind of, you know, replenishes the confidence level, I would say. So I absolutely abide by that, and I hope over the coming years as well I can continue that, like, because initially I used to do sketchbook, but then, you know, went full, like, you know, commercial artwork, and then lost my sketchbook completely. I think that also impacted the way my confidence works. I think, yeah, that muscle builds that muscle, I think, is absolutely correct. Cool. Things about Rajiv that the other people don't know.
No. So how do I talk about what people don't know? I'm a bit reclusive. I don't get out much. What else? I like to play tennis. And,
Acha, hence Wimbledon. Okay.
Yes, Wimbledon. I don't know, man. I'm a little bit for. You asked me some specific questions, no? I don't know how to gauge what my public image is, and therefore what people don't know about
okay.
me.
Okay, so you know what I'll do is I have so I think I started this off some 3-4 episodes ago. What I do is, like, you know, I find I got my hands on some, you know, creative conversation questions on the internet. Yeah, my god, like, I don't know why, but so what I started doing is I started, like, this one segment where I just randomly find 3 questions out of the whole bunch, and you know, I ask you, and you know, it's mostly for fun, that's it, right? So that's what
cool.
I'll do with you. The first question, let me just quickly find. Okay, I think this one would be good. You kind of answered this, but yeah, this is like, I don't know if you've watched Coffee with Karan, but it's like that. Anyway, so what was your dream job when you were a kid? How does that compare to what you're doing now?
This is my dream job, man. To be able to start and make some sort of living out of it is a dream, and I can't ask for anything more.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, next one. Now I'll slightly change this question to kind of, you know, fit our conversation better. So what is your least favorite book that you have worked on so far, and why?
The least favorite book
least
I've worked
favorite.
On so far?
And why? It's okay if
let's
you
say
don't want to
Dive.
Name the book.
No, let's say Dive, because I'm the author as well, so I'm not implicating anybody else. I wish I had taken some more jump in that book. Like, I feel it could have been a better book than it is, so that's the only reason. It's not a terrible book, but it could have been a bit more interesting.
If given the
in
chance,
that respect.
Would you try and redo it?
Yeah, of course.
Ah, that may be a good one. I look forward to it. Okay, and the third one, This I think you will be you'll like answering this question. Dream dinner party, who is invited and why?
You're invited, sir.
Ah, okay, I'll come. I'll come. You'll answer. No problem. I'll come. Okay, who else?
Maybe who else? Bob Dylan.
Oh, nice.
Bob Dylan, Paul. Roger Federer.
Okay. Quite the mix.
Oliver Jeffers.
Oh, nice. I'd love to be there.
Yeah, and you're very welcome to come.
Okay, well. Chalo, I'll come. I'll come and make chai.
It'll be closer for everyone else because they
I
don't
know.
Come from Electronic City.
I know. My God, that was such a stab. Yeah, but yeah, yes, you're absolutely. I have never been to Yelahankana. No, I've been only once when I went to CARE. You know, I'm sure you know Charlie's CARE, right? Like, because you are into the animal scene. So I've been to CARE a couple of times. I think that's the only time I've been to Yelahankana, really. Otherwise, I just like zoom through Yelahankana towards the airport, but never really went in, right? Yeah, I think this would be your first time. Do you cook by any chance? Like, are you into cooking? Do you cook well?
I'm not into cooking, but I can cook. I can
cook well.
Feel and make sure nutrition is taken care of. Like, it's not a epiphany or anything like that.
Okay. Perfect. Cool. All right.
I cooked in lockdown.
You cooked in lockdown. Achha, so did you start cooking in lockdown or pehle se?
No, I could cook before.
Wait, you're from Bombay. Okay. You grew up in Bombay. Like, don't you like miss Bombay-related food?
I miss everything about Bombay.
How come you're in Bangalore then?
My wife is from here.
Oh, okay. So that's
It's nice also. Bangalore is also nice. Many nice things about Bangalore.
That's true. It's not like, you know, the stereotypical weather wala thing. There are actually, you know, it's a, like for me also, ever since I moved here, I have had like a bunch of opportunities and exposure, which I don't think I would have gotten in other places. So yeah, quite grateful, no matter how much I complain about traffic. Last night, you know, Jajiv, I was stuck in traffic again near Silk Board. 45 minutes on a Friday evening, you know, at what time? 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
11:30 p.m. stuck at Silk Board for 45 minutes, but still the place is good, I would say. Anywho, coming back. So, you know, Rajiv, this has been a great conversation. We'll give you closure for my last question. Of course, I know for a fact I'll meet you for sure. And, you know, we will have more conversations around stuff. But the last piece that I ask people is, why do you do this? So why do you make art? This one's a very philosophical one. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do much else. That's a practical reason, and I enjoy what I do very much, and I feel like especially when it comes to children's book illustrations, I feel like there is some value in what I do in terms of making books and interesting for children, and that's why I do what I do.
Perfect. Sure. So, Rajiv, thank you so much. Been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Smith had told me, like, why are you not getting him? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm waiting. I want to call him, but I'm waiting for the right opportunity. And that day, you know, when we spoke about Dive, I thought, like, okay, this is, I think the time has come. The time has arrived, right? So, let's do that. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your, the guidance. Thank you so much for being there, doing that, and for, like, honestly, personally, I would say, I don't say this to everybody, but for being an inspiration for me, at least, like, you know, not as a child, but me as an adult, finding inspiration, true inspiration is not that easy, I would say. I don't like find it every single day. But when I look at your work, I pretty much all the time I get inspired. Like, you know, there's something in one corner of the page that I see, I'm like, hey, that's so cool, I want to try it when I work on the next thing, right? So that's something for sure. You're definitely like a real life living legend hero for me.
Oh my god, yeah,
and not saying that you know, without meaning it, for sure. Like, I really appreciate your artwork and your you know, your style and your storytelling and a whole bunch of things. So thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thanks, man. That's so nice. I'm crying now. I mean, lying in a pool of puddle of tears. No, but thanks. Thanks, and this is nice also.
Perfect. Cool. So if I had to ask you for one last question, okay? One adjective that you would use to describe today's conversation. So I'll end with that adjective.
Circuitous.
Come again?
Circuitous.
Circuitous. Okay. Can you explain that meaning?
Going in circles. Not circles, so wandering.
Wandering, yeah. Perfect. So, yeah, like,
but in a good way, in a very
happy,
positive way.
I didn't realize I was talking to Mr. Tharoor here, but yeah, one of the people I really admire. I don't know, maybe it will be a dream to work on a book with him one day. Really admire that person's, you know. Nothing else but the whole, I would say, dedication towards language. I really appreciate when people get to do that. But anywho, Rajiv, thank you so much. This was a lovely conversation, even though we went
so nice. This.
But yeah, I like it. I definitely do like
not
it.
Not in circles, in directions.
Happy directions, yes. And you know, but sometimes it's required, right? It's not always that you have to like think of a goal and move towards that, right? And I feel your artwork, more than anything else, is about that, right? Your artwork is very, you know, let's not go towards this one finite line. Let's just make scratchy, uneven textured lines, which will, you know, speak to a whole bunch of people. So, but yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Rajiv. Thank you.
Thanks, Anu.
All right, so that was an amazing conversation with Rajiv. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I will, of course, you know, add his page link and also the Storyweaver link that I mentioned earlier in the show notes so that you can also go and check it. And yes, if you get a chance, drop by my page as well. And I'll see you in a bit with another guest in the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. Till then, cheers.